And please turn to Psalm 119. We'll be looking at verses 153 through 160. We'll be looking at section Resh. It's a Hebrew letter that sounds to us like R. Psalm 119, 153 through 160. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous and am disgusted because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Before I get into the substance of this portion here in our little bit of a meditation, I'm wondering if those of you who are reading along in your Bibles happen to have the Hebrew letter there beside the name Resh. If so, I'd like you to go back all the way to verse 25 through 30, section Dalet. And if you've got the Hebrew letters there, look at the difference between the letter Dalet and the letter Resh. They look almost the same. What's the difference? The Dalet comes to a square corner up at the top right there and has a little tiny tail going up to the right and up, just a little teeny bit. The Resh just goes over and not quite a square turn. It's more like a slight curve there. But otherwise, they look almost exactly the same. There's little tiny details. Those are the tittles that Jesus is talking about in Matthew 5 in 17 and 18, where he says, not one jot, remember that's the letter Yod, the smallest Hebrew letter, and not one tittle will perish from God's law till all be fulfilled. All right, so there's a little bit of a bonus for you. As we look at section Resh here, again, every single word starting out, every single verse starts with the letter Resh, which makes the R sound. In this portion, we see the psalmist in great affliction. Some of it is affliction that comes along because of the evils that are in this fallen world. Some of it, not so much is he complaining about that which comes as a result of his own sin. It's more that some of it here is coming from persecution. These are things that we are all too familiar with. And of course, we know of the affliction. If we're in Jesus Christ, we know of the affliction that comes upon us because of our sin. Thanks be to God. If we be in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven of sin. Thankfully, we're being cleaned up from sin. We hate sin more and more, and we struggle against it, and we fight against it, and sometimes we see victories, and it's so encouraging, but then sometimes it goes splatto, don't we? We make all kinds of efforts to guard ourselves against sin, but we let our guard down. And just like a boxer, when he lets his guard down, temptation pops us in the jaw and knocks us down. Or for some, well, I was going to say stupid, and I guess it is that, but for some wicked reason, we decide we will break over the fences that we have made. and we sin again. But we hate that. We hate that in ourselves. And by God's strength, by God's work within us, the work of the Holy Spirit, we seek even more to fight against that sin and replace it with godly thoughts, godly actions, godly habits, building up godly character. The wicked are not this way. They delight in sin. They don't like its consequences, but they delight in sin. Now, as I was saying, this isn't so much evident here in this portion, in section Resh. What we see are more the disgust towards sin that's remaining, and we who are in Jesus Christ know about that, as well as afflictions in general, and we all participate in these. We're just reading and hearing about this 10-year-old girl who is in agony and with a number of conditions, any one of which would just bear any one of us down. These are what come in a broken and a fallen world, even to the godly. But we have here as well, as we look at these different afflictions which the psalmist is going through, and persecutions, we see the promise of deliverance and his reliance upon those promises. We see him crying out to Jehovah, "Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law." Now, we want to make sure that we don't mistake this. It's not that the psalmist is saying, "I make you a deal, God, take care of me, and I'll do whatever you say from now on." No, that's not it. Or, "Take care of me because, like little Jack Horner, what a good boy I have been." No, it's not that either. He is basing his cry for help upon the fact that he has been changed and he is now a child of God. That is the only way that he does not forget God's law. Those who are outside of Christ may have heard God's law. In fact, to some degree, it is written upon their dead hearts. But they easily forget it. In fact, they intentionally forget it. They try to push it down, try to keep the lid on it. It doesn't work, just like it doesn't work for you to try to keep steam escaping from a saucepan by holding down the lid. Doesn't work, right? But that's what the sinner tries to do. But the godly, no. He can appeal to God for aid. You can appeal to God for aid because your heart is changed. You are now a child of God, and you can appeal to your Father in heaven for this. This is how the psalmist continues on from verse 153 in verse 154 there, in verse 156 in, several of these. But let's go on to see that it is because of his trust in God that he is able to press on. Not only his trust in God, but trust in his word. That we see particularly summed up in verse 160, the entirety, that is, every single bit, children, of your word is truth. Our Lord Jesus said so himself in John 17, verse 7. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through the truth, he said, praying for his disciples. Thy word is truth. And every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. It does not change, because it is from God who does not change. His word is eternal. God's judgments are everlasting. They do not change. People do. Society's ideas do. But God's word does not change. Now how can we, how could the psalmist, and how can we be so confident in the midst of afflictions and persecutions and, yes, the consequences of our own foolish yielding to sin? It is because this especially describes our Lord Jesus Christ. As I've just mentioned, he may well have had verse 160 in mind when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane right before his betrayal. But doubtless all these verses were on his heart when he was there at the cross. He truly had full holiness. He truly had lived perfectly righteously before the law. He truly was the only begotten Son of the Father, not adopted like you and me. It is because of the affliction he endured, in fact, the greatest persecution of all, that we have these promises. He earned them for us. He earned them for us by his perfectly righteous life. He actually earned, in a manner of speaking, our punishment by taking it on himself, taking the legal blame for it, and paying the penalty for our sin. All this our Lord Jesus did and rose victoriously from the dead, having paid the price for all his people. Well, because of that, we in affliction, when we have sadness, when we have sickness, when we have financial reverses, when we have betrayals, when we have loneliness, when we have aches and pains, when we have tears, sometimes of sadness, sometimes of repentance, whatever they are, when we have affliction, we must take ourselves to Jehovah in Jesus Christ with the assurance that we shall have deliverance because he has said so. He has said so in his truthful word. He has said so in his unchanging word. Well, let's sing about this from Psalm 119, you in our psalm books. You know, if everything had gone along perfectly, so to speak, that would be R, but that's not how the way it is. So we'll sing from Psalm 119U, and as you sing, do some thinking about this as well, and rejoice in the fact that because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, you have the assurance that your affliction can be taken to God, it will be heard, and you will be delivered. Psalm 119U.